All right. Go ahead and get started here. Let's go ahead to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this evening, dear God. Thank you for the sunshine. Lord, thank you for the rain. And Lord, all that you do for us. Thank you for this building, dear God. Just the safety of getting here this evening. Lord, I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I pray you just help us now as we go forward in this service, that you will be glorified and honored. And Lord, that we just lift you up in these songs, dear Lord, just draw close to you in these last days that we're living in. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you take your blue hymn book, if you can't stand, we'll sing page 655 in the blue hymn book. If you're able to stand, page 655, Honey in the Rock. Social distancing and all that, because all the parks are booked up for Memorial Day. Yeah. So I'm assuming that something's coming down the pipe to where we're going to lighten up on some things. So we're going to have it here. Okay. So what I'm going to need help with is if we can get a grill here. If we can't get a grill here, then maybe we'll think about purchasing one for the church. Get a grill here. We're going to have it here. I might do something too that day as well. I don't know if I'm going to do it that day, but I got a movie. It's called Before the Wrath. It's a really good movie that some people put together concerning the Jewish, a Galilean Jewish wedding, and how it coincides with the rapture of the church. And it's very, very well put together, a very informative documentary on how they did a Jewish wedding back 2,000 years ago. And so I'd like to show that. I might show it that Memorial Day picnic. I'm not sure yet when we'll do that. But we'll still have the picnic. We'll have it here, Lord willing, just a time to get together, spend some fellowship time with one another, and just have a good time in the Lord. Another announcement, I need help with this too. We're redoing a church sign. We're going to put the new time on there. So when we went out and looked at it, basically the whole thing needs to be redone because a lot of it's peeling and the vinyl's coming off. So I tried to come over here Tuesday to get it, but it's too big for my little setup. So what I'm going to have to do is have a church meeting and the church can just buy me a brand new truck. It's a joke. It's a big joke. I can't fit it in the saddle unless I strapped it to the top, and I did think about doing that, but that'd have been like Southern style right there.
And we got it.
I can get the sign down. I just need some way to get it to my house to where I can strip it and paint it and put new vinyl on it. So if anybody has any way you think we get that transported to my home, talk to me afterwards and we'll try to figure it out. I don't know if it fit in anybody's car because it's 58 inches by, I want to say it's 58 by 69, I think. 58 wide. And so, yeah, my little Saturn's like 43 inches.
On the bus.
That's a good idea. We'll Uber it or something. So somehow we got to get that sign in my house so we can redo it. And then also when we bring it back, Brother Jim brought it up, we're going to try to put it in this time with 4x4s. And I'd like to try to get up just a little bit higher to where you can see that there's cars when you're driving down the road. And so Sam's laughing at me. Brother Sam's laughing at me. But put some decorative 4x4s to make it look nice and get that back on there. But I can't figure out how to get to my house. So as soon as we figure that out, we'll get that done. I also ordered some signs, Lord willing, in the next probably, I'd say, 3 or 4 weeks. I'm going to try to get at least one day a month starting out. And I got a nice sign that I have. I'm just going on one of these street corners here and just hold up some scripture signs. That's it. Nope. Right now, no preaching. Just holding Bible up. Scripture. That's it. And if some people stop, I'm going to get a sign made also with our church information. Somebody stops, bring some tracts out there. Somebody stops, give them a tract, invite them out to church. But just to hold some scripture signs, just to be a testimony to this area, just a light. So I got, I think I ordered 10 of those scripture signs. They're already made. They're being shipped probably tomorrow. We're working on the website to get that done as well. And last thing to bring up, May 16th, not this Sunday, which is Mother's Day, the following Sunday, we'll have that church business meeting. I think that's all I have for right now. I continue to keep Brother Les in prayer and his health situation. Keep Sister Kathy in prayer. She fell from the attic. She didn't fall all the way through. But I know she was doing something in the attic and she fell through and she caught her arms on the beams. And so her brother was there. And her brother, who has MS, was, thank the Lord, he was able to lift her out. But she's got scratched up some bruises, so keep her in prayer for that. They're going through it. And also for her mother. Kathy Helly.
Kathy
Helly. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So they've been going through it. So keep her in prayer. She's all right. She's just a little banged up. Thank the Lord she didn't fall through the attic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So keep them in prayer. And, I think that's all I have on the top of my head. Amen. All right, I'd like to read this prayer letter, too, from Brother Mark Reno. He just sent this in, I think, yesterday. He says, thank you so much for your prayers and support this past month. It was a great month for us, and I want to share some highlights with you, if I may. He says, tracks to Guatemala. The 500,000 tracks to Guatemala and the first skid is en route to Denver for shipment. We hope to have word that they've arrived in Guatemala sometime in June or July. If this shipment goes well, we will send the rest. Please pray for many, many souls who read these tracts to be saved. Amen. Tracts to Mexico. The 100,000 tracts from Mexico were shipped from California to Gray, Tennessee, to sit in storage for this fall's shipment container to Brother Wheeler. Please, please pray with me that we have more money to print tracts before the shipment goes out. Tracts to Venezuela. I have a prayer request for you, Brother Wheeler. Brother Wheeler called and asked permission to send 20,000 of the tracts from Mexico to a missionary who's getting literature into Venezuela. Without going into details, Venezuela is a very needy country on many fronts, and sometimes shipping into the country is a challenge. We have an opportunity to send tracts into this country that is mostly shut down. I didn't feel right about sending tracts that were printed from Mexico without money given expressly for track with money given expressly for tracts in Mexico to another country, so I had to say no, but that we would pray for funds to come in so we could send others. I'm asking that you label your gifts for tracts for Latin America or your specific field of choice. Shipping tracts to Guatemala was considerably later than we thought. We are waiting on sending tracts to Peru for the next container, but currently have an open door with Mexico and Venezuela. I'll be prayerfully allocating the funds to the projects where the Lord leads. Most of the time, I will be able to tell you in advance where our projects are next, and will work to communicate clearly when the projects are coming to fruition. The Chinese virus has made this aspect of our ministry more challenging than in time past. The Gospel Catholic, Lord willing, will be working on the next edition of this magazine this month. Dr. Brown left off the last edition with info on the Geneva Bible. I heard from a pastor this week that the article was the most helpful on the subject he had ever seen. We are indeed blessed to have Dr. Brown's expertise on the subject. Personal, April was a great month. I had an excellent trip to El Paso, including speaking to three congregations on a Sunday. I also made contact with a missionary in New Mexico, and we've worked on arrangements for him to receive and distribute our tracts. I just sent him 1,700 this week. Thank you for praying. Our family was able to enjoy a vacation in Virginia, courtesy of some friends with a timeshare. It was our first real vacation in over 6 years. This month is a busy one for our family. In addition to Mother's Day, Patricia turns 8, Rachel celebrates her 40th birthday, and we have our 15th wedding anniversary. I'm a very blessed man. Thank you for your faithful prayers and support on our behalf. Yours for the kingdom, Brother Mark Reno. Amen. So keep them in prayer, and also with those tracks getting into those countries there. I know sometimes it's difficult to ship stuff to different countries because when custom gets a hold of it, sometimes they want some of what you got, and you got to pay extra for what they have, so just keep that in prayer. I wonder if there's not going to be some more open doors with these other countries that haven't had the opportunities that the United States has had. I know a missionary in Sierra Leone right now, it just seems like there's a wide open door with souls there, unlike any other time, to get the gospel out. So just keep these missionaries in prayer as they try to do the work of the Lord. I believe that's all I have. Let's sing another song, page number 705. Page number 705, Take the Name of Jesus With You.
afternoon, and there was a couple there going to the mall, and so the gentleman was not quite right, and we given the thing, and when we, and then the bus came back, he said, no, we wouldn't get on the bus, and she was really having a hard time, so I prayed, and he got on the bus, and that's why God hears our prayers.
Amen. He does hear prayers. God hears what we pray to. Absolutely. Amen. Thank the Lord for that answer to prayer. Anybody else have anything? Sister?
My brother-in-law, Dave, did receive a package, and I asked my sister what his reaction was, and she said he was just a little bit surprised, but I'm just thankful that he didn't throw in the garbage right away.
Amen.
So just pray for him at least for this one more Sunday on Wednesday.
And that was that book, is that what you said as well? That the one with the, amen. Yeah, keep that in prayer, that God would just deal with it. It's a Jewish New Testament, and on one side it's got Hebrew, and on the other side it's got the English King James Version. And it actually reads like the Jews would read it from back to front, and from right to left. So just keep that in prayer that God would just deal with him about his soul, and he'd see where he stands with the Lord. Amen. Brother Chris?
Well, just keep Carmel over here in prayer. He'll show up this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep Carmel in prayer. We tried to get him out here Sunday morning, and he just texted Chris that morning and said he wasn't feeling well. So let's keep him in prayer that he'd come on out. Anybody else have anything?
I put that on the prayer.
Brother Sam?
A friend I have from a church I went to previously, her name is Pam, and she broke her arm. Pretty bad break. She's going to be healing up for 8 weeks. And we'd like to just remember her in prayer. Some of us here know who she is.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. So keep Pam in prayer with the broken arm. Anything more from about Miss Alita Harris? So I guess it's good news. It's nothing. I think you would have probably heard of something if the heart was rejecting it, so that's a blessing. And also that's another thing that's what we mean. Brother Alan McFall, he's a missionary to Kyrgyzstan. And he has an orphanage over there, and he's been there for probably 15, 16 years now. But 2 years ago he was in a bad motorcycle accident over there, almost lost his life. He was sent to Turkey, had a bunch of surgeries in Turkey, and he finally got back to the U.S. He's been in the U.S. since. But him and his wife are trying to get back over there. His son's been keeping orphanage going while he's been away these last 2 years. But he's trying to get plane tickets to fly out in 2 weeks. So pray for him that they'll be able to get the visas as they go in there as well. Just a lot of stuff they got to deal with the government in Kyrgyzstan. But if you could just keep Alan McFall in prayer, him and his wife Cheryl, as they try to travel back over to Kyrgyzstan to keep that orphanage running. For those kids, and then also for his son, that's helping keep him going. So keep him in prayer.
What's his last name again?
McFall.
McFall.
Yes. Yep. Real good man. Real good man.
You said Kyrgyzstan?
Kyrgyzstan. It's right above Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. It's near Afghanistan. And Pakistan.
I was just trying to figure out how to spell it, but I guess I'm
on my that's all those stands. Yeah. He was originally in Uzbekistan, and the government started clamping down on Christianity there, and he actually got taken into the police station many times and interrogated, and he went through it. So I think he did some time in jail over there, and eventually they kicked him out of the country. So, but his heart's always been in that area, so he came back to the States and tried to get back over there, and so he flew into Russia and then drove all the way down into Kyrgyzstan. And the Lord just did a miraculous work to allow him to start an orphanage there. To where they were going to shut him down numerous times, but they didn't have nobody else that would take the kids. So the Lord's just done miracles in keeping that ministry going in a place that it should not be. It's a closed country. And they know he's American, and they know what he's doing as far as the orphanage goes. So just keep him in prayer. He's got a really good work going on there, and the Lord's really blessing it, especially for those kids. Amen. Anybody else, Amen? All right. So we're going to continue this evening our study in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. And as I, you know, rereading through the whole chapter, through the whole book of 2 Peter, the more it gets impressed upon my mind, basically, that it is essential for Christians to stay focused. What I mean by stay focused is I think there's a lot coming down the pipe and is already here that can distract us from what the Lord would have us to do in these very last days that we're living in. There's a lot of things to distract us, to turn us aside from what really matters and what really needs to be done at this moment of time that we're living in if we're born again believers. And so as I read through 2 Peter now, I think some of it has to do with the second coming of the Lord, not so much the raptured church, but his actual second coming before the millennial reign. But the theme that I keeps coming through my mind is that we need to be aware and constantly diligent of our walk with him, that we're not led astray by some individual or something, that our focus, that we stay focused and vigilant till the Lord calls us home. So picking up here in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse number 5. And it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And then he goes on to say, we've already looked at this, for if these things be in you, what things, what we just read, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, I find that statement something that you could become barren and unfruitful in your knowledge of who Jesus is. It goes on to say in verse number 9, but he that lacketh, here's that word again, these two words, these things, is blind and he cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now verse number 10 this evening. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, thank you for our precious salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray now, Father, that you would open our eyes. I pray you'd open our ears, Lord, to receive exactly what you'd have us to have out of your word this evening. Lord, that would cause us to grow closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, that someday when we get home, we can hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, that we wouldn't go home, Lord, that we wouldn't go home blind, forgetting that we are purged from our old sins, that we wouldn't go home barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of you. And Lord, just help us now this evening. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we see when we looked at last week, that these two words that are common through this book, these things, and these things. And then you jump down to verse 15 and he says it again, these things, all referring back to what we find in chapter 1 from verses 1 through 7. Those things that are listed there are very important, because Peter here in this book, in his second, we're kind of going backwards on this, and I don't know, the Lord has a reason why, but if I'd have known I was going to go through the whole book of 2 Peter, I would have started in 1 Peter. That would have made sense. A lot of things I do don't make sense, so it kind of adds up with who I am. So for whatever reason, we're going through it backwards, but I'd like to, after 2 Peter, to go back through 1 Peter. But through it all, Peter consistently has in his mind, we're going to see it here as he writes his second letter, that he's getting ready to depart off the scene. And he's telling the brethren, listen, I need you to remember. I need you to remember. I need you to remember. He says it like 4 or 5 times. I need you to put these things in remembrance. These things. What things, Peter? The things he's talking about that you need to add to your faith. So the emphasis Peter's putting on is not that you... And I understand when I say this, there's a place in that the emphasis is not on prophecy. Now, there's a time and place to teach prophecy. But you see, Peter's putting a strong emphasis on these character traits that he desires to be in our Christian walk.
faith, virtue, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Peter is putting major, major emphasis on these things. And you say, well, brother, why? Because the times that we're living in. Right? Brother Glenn opened up a little bit, talked to me before service here about something that kind of got his goad this week, and something almost kind of got my goad this week. And I think it's imperative that these virtues are found in us so that when those times happen, we have the right attitude. Right, brother? Same for me. I had a little incident this week or yesterday with my wife at a certain government facility that I wasn't allowed to go in with her. And if I could, I would have gone in there in my flesh and knocked somebody out. That's in my flesh. And I'm a pastor, so I can't do that. But your flesh gets riled up because we still have flesh. But the Bible wants us, the Lord wants us to bring our flesh into subjection and to show that charity when charity needs to be shown, when you really don't want to show charity. And a lot of people sometimes aren't open and honest, say, well, yeah, I do have a problem with, I get stirred up. But if you can acknowledge it, okay, the Lord can do something with it now. And so I was sitting in a car and she's texting me and she said, I'm in tears. Well, my blood's getting risen. That's my wife. And she's in there. Somebody's making her cry. Well, as a husband, I want to go in there and deal with it. But I stopped for a moment and we both recognize and realize, okay, what's really going on here? And I think one of the reasons why, is because she was wearing a skirt. I think if she'd had pants on, she'd had no issues. Because somebody came in right behind her, was dressed like a, and, oh, honey, what's going on? And my wife's like, when somebody tries to dress modest and live for God in the right way and you stand out from everybody else, there's spirits behind things there. There's spirits going on behind individuals and behind things and behind entities. And the devil's going to get in there and try to stir something up to destroy your testimony. I believe it with all my heart. So I sat there in the car. I said, Lord, help. I said, Lord, help my wife right now. I can't go in there. I can't bust in there. I can't do that. It wouldn't be right. And so I started praying. I said, God, help my wife. Help the situation we're dealing with. It makes no sense with what we're having to deal with here. But Lord, I realize there's probably entities behind us and they're just trying to stir stuff up. And she came out. She was fine. We couldn't get what we wanted to get done. But all right, we'll get there. But I think the Lord met and helped in the situation. You see, prophecy is not going to help in that situation. Knowing about what's going to happen in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse number 17, really isn't going to be applicable at that very moment when you're standing in front of this individual who's giving you a hard time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, prophecy has its proper place. Don't get me wrong when I'm saying that. But God here in the second book of 2 Peter, and as we read through the three chapters there in 2 Peter, Peter puts a lot of emphasis on character traits that God desires for to be in our life. Virtue, faith, diligence, knowledge, temperance, godliness. How would Jesus Christ act in this situation? How would he handle himself? Because the world is looking and the world is watching. And if we act just like the world, why do they got to have what we have? So the Bible says here in verse number 10, Peter goes on, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The word wherefore means for which reason. Peter says, for which reason, brethren, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Why, Peter? Why? So that you realize that there's an opportunity that you could be blind to the things that God's done for you. You can forget that you were purged from your old sins, and you can be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter says, wherefore the rather, brethren? For which reason? Because of the reasons that I just listed in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. For these reasons, give diligence to what? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The word calling means this, your profession. Election means your choice or power of choosing or selecting. So he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure, your profession and your walk with God, that it will be sure. Take your Bible and look at 2 Peter. Turn over to chapter 3 and look at verses 17 and 18. Look what he says at the very end of the book. Chapter 3, verse 17, 18. Peter said there in chapter 1, he says, I want you to make sure of your calling and your election and to make sure that it is sure. Make sure that it's certain, that you have full confidence that you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye, there's those words again, these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, and look at this again, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now forever. Amen. What does Peter put emphasis on again? These things. For what reason? Lest ye fall, or lest ye be led away by the error of the wicked and fall from your what? Your own steadfastness. Brethren, there's an opportunity that we can fall from our own steadfastness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not lose your salvation, but not be what you need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ in your Christian walk. Can soldiers fall down in war? Absolutely. They could fall down a lot, especially if they're going over a rough patch. Think about that for a second. If you're going through a rough patch in your life, there's a chance you might fall a few times because it's a rough patch. You're trying to take a hill, some of those hills that those Marines had to take over there on those islands near Japan. Some men, straight up, cliffs, they're having to climb up ladders. Some of those battles were horrific. So many soldiers lost their lives, and a lot of them fell down because of the terrain that they were covering to try to get the high ground. So there's an opportunity you can fall, Peter says, but Peter says that I want you to be steadfast and that you wouldn't fall and be led away with the error of the wicked. Now, how can we be led away with the error of the wicked? By watching too much news? I would say it's very slim pickings of anybody that's in the news realm that's a saved, born-again believer. If you know one, please let me know, and I'd like to hear his testimony or her testimony. For the most part, I would say for the most part, most people that's giving you the news, they probably aren't saved. He says here, lest ye fall from your own steadfastness. Why? Because you're led away with the error of the wicked. What is most of the news or what we hear, what are they putting the emphasis on? They're definitely not putting the emphasis on what God would put the emphasis on. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan, the devil. Who runs this world right now? The devil. We need to be about our Father's business. Peter puts great emphasis on this notion of being blind, being forgetful, being unfruitful, and being barren. And he also, in chapter 3, talks about falling from your own steadfastness. And he also uses the word fall here in chapter 1, verse number 10. Look what it says. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Look what he says. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Same thing he said in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Fall from what? Fall from your steadfastness. We need to be steadfast in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye minister to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You see this thought process here in Hebrews chapter number 6. And I believe what's mentioned there in verses 4 through 10 or 9, I don't think that's dealing with a saved individual. I believe it's dealing with an individual who got really close, but didn't get in, didn't choose to get in. And Peter's, or the writer of Hebrews, is saying here, verse number 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now look at verse 19 and 20. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Why did you read that, Brother Chris? I read that because of what Peter is saying here about giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. Knowing that you're in the body of Christ, that you are a child of God, and as the writer of Hebrews says here in verses 19 and 20, that you have the anchor of your soul, which is Jesus Christ, and that it's sure and that it's steadfast within you. It says that it's sure and steadfast in heaven, but is it sure and steadfast in your soul? Do you know this evening that you're a child of God? Is your calling and election sure? Or is it just a calling and election that is just mere profession? I guess what I'm asking this evening, do you have a possession more so than just a profession? Because Peter's saying, listen, he's telling the brethren there, he says, listen, give diligence. What are we to give diligence to? To make sure that our calling and election is sure. Go back over to 2 Peter. Why so much emphasis, Peter? Why so much emphasis? So that you don't fall, so that you don't forget that you're purged from your old sins and that Christ has saved us. A sure thing. It's imperative that we make sure that we have a sure foundation, that our soul is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ is anchored in us. He says, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, I read in Hebrews, well, I'm not going to, I'll skip over that. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 verse 18. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Look at 1 John chapter 3 verse number 18. 1 John chapter 3 verses 18 through 21. He says, for if you do these things, you'll never fall. You should never fall. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Is your heart clear this evening? Is your calling and election sure? The Bible says here in verse 20, he says, for if our heart condemn us, and God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Look, we might feel guilty about something in our heart. And our conscience is going to deal with us about that. But there's also this notion here in these verses that not only will our heart deal with us about things, God should be dealing with us about things. And when you get saved, at least when I got saved, God was convicting me of my sin. There were times before I got saved that I felt bad about what I had done, and it was me feeling bad about what I had done. But there also came a point to where there was conviction by the Holy Ghost that God was dealing with me, and I felt God was dealing with me, not just my heart. There was a Holy Ghost conviction over my sin towards God, and it caused me to turn to Him and get saved. Verse 27, it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you get saved, your heart no longer condemns you. Your conscience is clear. Your conscience is purged. As we read there last week in Hebrews chapter 9, my conscience is cleared. Now, there's times I fall short, absolutely. There's times where I've sinned against God in this flesh, but my conscience is clear. The guilt is gone as far as my sin needing to be made right with the Savior, with God the Father. My sin's been taken care of in the blood of Christ. But daily I have to wash my feet. Daily I have to make things right that maybe I didn't handle things the right way today. And I go before my Father and I go before the Lord and I say, Lord, help me with this. Forgive me for this. I'm washing my feet. Like Peter talks about when the Lord's dealing with them about when he washes their feet. And Peter says, no, my head, my everything about me, Lord. And the Lord says, no, you're clean. Just you need to wash your feet. It's what that means, your daily walk. Your daily walk, you're going to get dirty. Your feet are going to get dirty in your daily Christian walk. At night, clean up at night. Keep the list short. You did something wrong, make it right. You sinned before God, make it right. Get underneath the blood of Christ. But it's not dealing with your salvation. Your salvation is settled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you still have this flesh you got to deal with. So make it right. Okay, get your feet clean. He says, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Look at Isaiah chapter 56. Do these things. If you do these things, you'll never fall. I've said this before, there ought to be some growth after you're saved. If you've been saved for 20 years, you should not be acting like you were when you first got saved. You should be able to look back and see where the Lord's brought you from and how you've grown in certain aspects of your Christian walk to where you have greater victory over some of the things that you didn't have much victory over when you first got saved. That's becoming more sure and steadfast in the things of God. But look at Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 2. Isaiah 56 verse 2. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, and keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Now we know that we're not underneath the laws and statutes and ordinances of the Old Testament. That was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing I want you to notice about this is what Isaiah is saying here. He says, blessed is the man that does what? That does this. And the son of man that layeth hold on it. What is it? That he keepeth the Sabbath from what? Polluting it. So in the Old Testament, look at verse number 1 in chapter 56. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. I believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, blessed is the man that doeth this. What is he supposed to do? He's supposed to keep judgment and do justice. For what purpose? Because salvation's near to come and my righteousness is getting ready to be revealed. And he says, blessed is the man that doeth this and the son of man that layeth hold on it, and keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. So what God's saying here through the prophet here, he's saying, listen, he's telling the children of Israel at this time, keep the Sabbath, keep yourself from doing evil, keep yourself from being polluted. For what purpose? So that when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, comes on the scene, you'll recognize him for who he is. Your eyes will be clear. There won't be no pollution, fogging, or messing up your perception of who the Messiah might be. You say, why are you bringing this up? Because Peter says that you give diligence to make your calling look sure, for if you do these things, you'll never fall. You'll never come into a situation to where your eyesight is slightly blinded, or you start to forget some things that you used to know about Jesus Christ. Are there things that we're allowing in our lives that are causing pollution? Are there things that we're allowing in our lives today, and only you can answer that, I have no idea, but have we allowed some things to creep into our spiritual walk with God that is causing some pollution? What does pollution do? What does smog do? It's a thick cloud that causes your vision to be obscured. You've seen pictures of it before, like over there in China and some of these huge cities like Beijing or even New York City or San Francisco, some of these huge cities, and they get this like smog and haze over them. What is it? It hampers your view. It gets film and stuff on windows and makes things dirty. What happens when things are dirty? It obscures and causes things to have to be washed and cleansed so that it's clean and you can see correctly. Are there things that are polluting our life and our walk with God, our fellowship with Him? Look at this thing about pollution. That pollution was mentioned there in Isaiah chapter 56. He says, keeping the Sabbath from polluting it. And now look over at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. This idea of polluting it. What does pollution do? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. Well, look at verse 18. He's giving warning again, and Lord willing, as we go through this book, we're going to see this. But he gives warning against false prophets. Whole chapter 2 is talking about false prophets and false teachers in the last days. Look what he says in verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, what happens? They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped, look at this, the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I read verse 20 to see that for if you escape the pollutions of the world, well, what that tells me is that this world is polluted. It's corrupt. So if we spend more time in the things of the world and what the world has to offer, it's going to pollute and it's going to corrupt and it's going to obscure our vision and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, make sure, give diligence that your calling and election is sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. It says there in verse 8, now I believe in chapter 2 here, as we read through it, and we're going to read through it, that this is dealing with a lost individual. They almost escaped the corruption of the world, but it talks about in verse 22 how the dog returns to his vomit and the sow to the washing and wallowing in the mire. We'll look at that later on. But this idea here in verse number 20 that it escaped the pollutions of the world, this world can pollute us. And these ideas of these false teachers and false prophets and false men going out here preaching Jesus Christ, but it's a different gospel than what we have in here. John Piper. Anybody ever heard of him? Yeah. Did you see the thing with his son? You saw the thing with his son? His son is gone viral on TikTok, on social media, blaspheming the names of the blaspheming God, making fun of Christianity. I mean, running it through the mud, and millions of people are following it. His dad is one of the quote unquote greatest theologians there are for our time. But I believe he's false. Guess what his net income, guess what he's worth, his dad, John Piper. Some say between $17 and $20 million. That's a hireling. I'm sorry. If all of a sudden somebody wrote a check in there and put it in an offering box and said, I want to give brother the pastor a love offering, and I open it up and it says $2 million in there, I'm not keeping it. God help me. If I get that check, if we get that check, Melanie, you hold me to my word. I'm not keeping it because it's too dangerous. too dangerous. My flesh can't handle $2 million. So what would you do with it, preacher? I'd put it back in a church, and I'd try to get as many missionaries as I could, try to start up as many orphanages as I could, try to help as many preachers as I could to build churches where they don't have churches. Brethren, when you got preachers who got Learjets, they drive around in Mercedes-Benz, they got Bentleys, they got $5,000 suits. Everything I got on, I think, is from the Goodwill or thrift shop. Right? Right? Brother, I'm not playing. I'm not being mean. I'm being dead serious. Peter warns against these things because they allure through the lust of the flesh through much wantonness. When a preacher wants, so everybody in the congregation wants what the preacher's got because they're all covetous. It's not Bible. You ain't going to find the Lord. Look how the Lord Jesus Christ came. He was born and laid in a manger. There wasn't even room in an inn for him to be born in. You're talking about the creator of all mankind, God Almighty. There wasn't even room, for lack of better words, a hotel for him to be born in. He was born in and laid in a manger with animals all around him, a stinky stall our Savior was. And I'm going to have a $500,000 house? God help me. God help us. This stuff's serious. But a lot of people fall prey to it. They fall prey to it thinking that that's godliness. No, it's not godliness. 1 Timothy talks about it. From such turn away. And Peter talks about it here all through chapter 2. You know what it does? You got a bunch of people in the church who think they're saved and they're nothing but dogs and pigs. They're going to return right back to their vomit and the pig's going to right back into the mud. And that's exactly what happens. They get a little cleaned up. They get a little religious. They get a little Bible in them. They start trying to do things morally and right. But after time, they fall away from it. And you got preacher's sons going out that are atheists now. And not only do they just go out and just believe that they're atheists. No, now they start blaspheming the name of God. Brother, that's not good. I watched an interview of somebody asking John Piper about his son. I had to turn it off because I couldn't even handle how he was talking. He was talking like a woman. Well, you know, sir, stop. Now think of how many people that's going to affect when it comes to Christianity. You're going to give somebody a track. Oh, well, you're just one of them. You just want my money. Right? I've heard kids in the juvenile say that before. I ain't going to go to church because all you want in church is all you want is my money. They tell me as a chaplain, I don't want nothing to do with that God stuff because every church I've been in, all they want is your money. I had another kid one time come up to me with tears in his eyes. He says, Mr. Chris, he says, what do you do when the preacher wants to sleep with your mama? How am I supposed to answer that? These things are serious if we name the name of Jesus Christ. Because there's a lot out there, a lot of false prophets and lost teachers that name the name of Jesus Christ, and they're false. And they're a bad testimony to us who are trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means our light needs to shine bright for Jesus. We need to make sure our calling and election is sure that we're not just going through the motions, that we truly possess what we say we have in Jesus Christ. Because the days are getting darker. It's not going to get no easier. It's only going to get harder for us. Brother, if it comes to what you were talking about, I think it's going to come with what we're talking about. If you don't have certain things, you're not going to be able to go places and do things. It's coming. It's coming down the pipe. Now, we don't get down in the depths about it and get depressed about it. Actually, it should make us happy. We should be joyous over these things because the redemption of our Savior draweth nigh. Listen, he's coming back soon. We're getting ready to go home. If we had to meet in the woods, glory to God, that means it's even getting closer. Because we have eternal life. So it's not, what I'm saying is not to get us down and, oh no, this. No, it should make us happy and joyous. That the Bible says to rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice and be happy that you suffer. Because Jesus suffered for us. That's a privilege and an honor to suffer for him. It's not something to be sad over. It's something to rejoice over. But see, the devil can come in and steal those things away and cause us to fall and cause us to forget that we were purged from our old sins, from the precious blood that was shed on. We can forget about that precious blood which purged us from our old sins. We can begin to be blinded by the pollutions and the corruption of the world, and it makes us that we're then barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the only one who truly loves us in this life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's less of an opportunity to have anxiety and depression if you're close to your Savior. But if you spend more time in the things with the, if you spend more time in the things of the world and the ways of the wicked and those that are preaching and teaching iniquity, of course you're going to be depressed. Of course you're going to be down. Of course you might want to take your life, because look what's happening here. But if you're able to draw nigh to the Savior, not saying that those times that might not happen, but you'll be closer to your Lord when it does happen. Now, I do believe also that as you try to draw closer to the Lord, the enemy sees that and look out, Katie barred the door, here we go. The enemy's like, all right, you trying to draw close to God? All right, I see what you're trying to do. You're starting to try to read your Bible more. Oh, you're trying to memorize more scripture. Oh, you actually took some tracts in your pocket today. Look out, here we go. Here comes the fight. But we got to endure hardness as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. When you pick those tracks up and you're getting ready to head out the door and you say, Lord, bring someone across my path today that I can talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ, someone I can witness to, someone I can talk to. As you pray those things, realize also that the enemy's hearing what you're saying. He's got spies. And he knows what you're getting ready to go do. Get ready for the fight. So that when a punch comes, it's not catching you by surprise. You know the punch is getting ready to come. Now look, we ain't got no prize fighters in this, but anybody that's ever seen a boxing match, you never see a boxer go into the ring like this. He's going to get, look, his feet like this, he's going to get knocked out if he gets hit. I don't care how strong and how big he is. You getting ready to fight, you getting ready to have a battle, you drop your foot back. That's one of the ways I knew in the juvenile center something's getting ready to go down, because the foot drops back. Okay, that's not good. Your foot's dropping back. Why are you dropping your foot back? Drop your foot, and now all of a sudden your hands get clenched. Okay, yeah, that's not good either, because you don't do, what do you do with your hands clenched? You get ready to hit something. Drop back, you drop your weight back. Okay, you're putting yourself in a position ready to receive a blow or give a blow. A soldier, you getting ready to shoot a gun. You don't, some shoot guns like this. I usually put my foot back to brace. Sister Donna could help us out here. No, you're shooting. That's good. You know, shoot. That's good stuff. I like shooting guns. But you take a defensive, you take a stance. You in a fight, you don't stand out in the open like this. You're going to get killed. You take cover. You maneuver to what the enemy's trying to do to you. And you're not ignorant of what's going on around you when you're in a battle. We're in a battle. We're in a spirit. We're in a more important battle. We're in a spiritual battle, brethren. All of us sitting here tonight, we walk out these doors, Lord willing, this evening, we're back on the battlefield. And there's an enemy. Look, as long as the Lord has us here, there's souls to be saved. And if it comes a point to where there's no more souls saved, there's brethren that might need your help and your encouragement to keep fighting a fight. Understand what I'm saying now? We don't go home till the commander calls us home. We're soldiers. We're to be about his business. Souls are his business, but we need to stay faithful to the end as the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't break rank. We can't lose focus of our orders. What are our orders? Well, if you're a husband, your orders are to do the things that your husband and a father needs to do. If you're a wife, your orders are to do what a wife and a mother ought to do. If you're a child, there's orders for each and every one of us. If we're breathing, God's got orders for us. Let us figure out what our orders are and be faithful to them. For what purpose? We'll close up here in 2 Peter chapter 1. For what purpose? He says, wherefore the brethren, chapter 1, verse 10, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence. He's serious about this. Peter is serious. He says, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence. Diligence means you are observant, you're watching what's going on, and you're making sure everything's right. When you give diligence, you're really paying attention. Now, I'm almost done. If I were to strap a parachute on your back, has anybody ever jumped out of a plane with a parachute? Nobody. All right. So that means we'd all be very diligent if we were getting ready to have to jump out of a plane with a parachute on our back. We all would be listening to whatever our instructor was telling us to do because we're getting ready to jump out of a plane at 10,000 feet. There's not one of us that would be like, oh, just take notes for me. I'll get it later. No, all if we were up in that plane right now, we would all be like, what did he say? Can you repeat that? If we knew we were going to have to jump out of that plane and pull that cord. What altitude are we? What do I need to look at on my watch again? They're not one of us would be like, oh, yeah, whatever. I'll get it when I get ready to jump out the door. No, we would be giving much diligence on how to pull that parachute to where we wouldn't die when we hit the ground. With that same emphasis that I just gave there, you're getting ready to jump out of a plane with a parachute for the very first time. Peter says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to what? To make your calling and election sure. Why? For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Next, we'll look at this. Look what he says next. There's a semicolon there. The sentence continues. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Do you see what he says in verse number 12? Or verse number 11, I'm sorry. We're going to have an entrance someday. We're going to have an entrance into that kingdom. I want to have a good entrance. I want to have a good entrance. I want to make sure that my calling election is sure so that I don't fall from these things, so that an entrance may be ministered unto me abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to go home on good conditions. I want to go home to where my life was pleasing to the Savior. And I go home a good soldier and not a soldier to cause them shame. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your blessed word. Lord, I thank you for the precious, precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in this battle. Lord, sometimes, dear God, I have a wrong attitude, Lord. Lord, sometimes I got a wrong attitude, dear God. I get down in the dumps. I get depressed about things that are going on. Things ain't going right. Things don't work out the way I want them to work out. But Lord, that's your doing, Father. Lord, help me to rejoice in those things, dear God, the tribulations and the afflictions, dear God, that Lord, as your Bible says, Lord, your word says to rejoice in those things, to rejoice in affliction, to rejoice in tribulation, because you went through the same things, dear God. And it's through these things that we can draw closer to you, Lord, and have a closer walk with you. Lord, help these precious brethren. Lord, I pray if I said things that didn't make any sense, Lord, that you would clear it up. Lord, help us to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, enduring hardness. Lord, that we would make sure of our calling and election. Dear God, that we wouldn't fall, that we remain steadfast and unmovable till you call us home someday, Lord, that we can have that right entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us through this week. Help us these next couple of days. If you tarry, Lord, you bring us back safely on Sunday. Help us to fight the good fight. Lord, help us to have opportunities to witness to lost souls. I pray you'd bring people across our path. Dear Lord, I pray we'd be able to hand out some tracts and invite some people out to church. But Lord, most importantly, help us to be faithful to you. And Lord, I ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. Let's take some time, if you'd like, to pray and seek God's face this evening. Amen.